From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
For this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast, Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford studio this morning. We're going to talk to Chris Dortch today, Blue Ribbon Yearbook. He is one of the preeminent voices in college basketball, so we'll discuss some college hoops with Chris coming up shortly here on the podcast. Last night, Ole Miss, a rough night in Athens, Georgia, losing, I think 71-60 was the final. There, a double-digit loss to the Bulldogs. Didn't really get overly close in the second half. I guess cut it to 8 or so with a couple minutes left. But otherwise, Georgia dominated the tempo, dominated the game. Ole Miss pretty cold offensively. They come back home now Saturday facing Mississippi State at the Pavilion. Ole Miss 1-1. They beat South Carolina. They have lost to Georgia, and I believe they are 8-6 now on the season, number 86 nationally. In KenPom this morning, which I believe is dead last in the SEC, just from a quick glance. So, a lot of basketball today with Chris Dortch. Also, potentially some movement on the 10th assistant with the football hire. Charles Clark is interviewed, the former Ole Miss player, former Colorado assistant, currently at Oregon. So, pretty good resume for him. He was with Mike McIntyre for 6-7 years, and then came with Willie Taggart to Oregon. Currently with Taggart, with Oregon still, did not follow him to this point to Florida State. So that's kind of what's on deck today with the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember, with the game Saturday at the Pavilion, you're going to see the ad, 49-cent bottomless refills. Check those out at the Oxford Exxon. Stay hydrated for a cheap price at any Blue Sky location in Mississippi. You can also get the ribs wet or dry. They'll pack them up, have them ready to go for you there at the Oxford Exxon. Oxford Crystal next door. Remember to get over there. You'll need a car, and you should check out Clark Ford in Amory for that.
Clark Ford's number 662-257-1900. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he sends you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. We tell you all the time. It's the truth. It's the way you do it. Once you get your quote, it's kind of up to you. You can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's so simple. It's hassle-free. You will enjoy it. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale. And it's, a great car buying experience. Clark Ford and Amory will make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcasts. We're taping a soft verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans today. I'm taping an Oxford Crystal Beer Garden this morning. We'll have those to you sometime tomorrow. Mention any of those podcasts, $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So potentially some movement soon on this this coaching thing. Marcus Woodson, also a candidate. He has gone to Auburn to be Auburn's 10th assistant. State had offered him as well, but he chose the Tigers for that. So we'll
probably a good call.
Do what?
Probably a good call.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, Gus. Even with the $7 million, he could be. That thing's weird.
Gus's buyout's $49 million.
You always say there's ways to work around that. Maybe you can work around.
I mean, there's a way. It's pay the money, unless you find some scandal.
Might be looking hard for one pretty soon.
I hear Gus is vanilla ice cream now.
Yeah. To the point of being kind of boring and a dork, but also pretty buyout proof.
Probably not much scandal there.
No, you're right. I want to talk about this a little more in a bit. What's your take on all this UCF stuff?
Gimmicky. It's cute. I kind of like it because it's funny. It keeps them in the news. It kept them in the news cycle. It's letting them announce out loud that even though Scott Frost is gone, we're serious. We're putting our money where our mouth is.
Paying the bonuses.
We're going to pay the bonuses, as insane as that is from a business standpoint. College athletics are not businesses. If they were businesses, you'd shut down everything that didn't make money. And you would just run a football program. So when people go, well, that's wasteful. Well, so is every volleyball program in the country.
Now, in saying that, college football programs are businesses.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And this is in the subset of that.
That's what I'm saying. When you said, but from an athletic department standpoint, it's them making a statement. I don't mind it. They went undefeated. Their argument is, and I think they're making an argument in some ways for all of the group of five, is that we deserve a seat at the table. Whether they do or don't is another debate, but from their perspective, they deserve a seat at the table. And this is their way of saying we should have been included. And in this one particular case, they probably have a point. The problem with the including a group of five automatically into the playoff is, what if one year there is no undefeated group of five? Well, now you have a team that doesn't belong in the playoff. But in their individual case, they belonged in an 8-team playoff.
Yeah, because you could have the year where it's, say, Memphis, who's got two or three losses, and you go, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah, what do we do? So you have to put some provision in there. But for UCF, in this one particular year...
Yeah, I don't mind it. I guess once you get down that road a little, you've got to just finish up and go all out. You definitely had to pay the bonuses.
Yeah, sure.
We can't go, well, hey, we're getting rings, but hey, yeah, we're not paying the coach. Come on. You had to pay the money.
No, Frost got $200,000 out of that.
And now here's the deal. They are getting the publicity and the marketing dollar for the bonuses and all that. They're getting national championship level marketing out of this.
Yes. It's a topic of discussion.
Yeah, so from a business standpoint, in that way, it makes some sense.
Sure.
Now, hanging the banner and stuff. I don't know. That's kind of your call there.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's
I like getting... I mean, because you look... Here's the news flash on the rings. The kids were getting rings anyway. They were going to get Peach Bowl / American Championship rings no matter what. So you're just putting another line on that thing. That's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, I mean Iowa State's going to get Liberty Bowl rings.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ring thing, whatever.
Tennessee got like four rings a couple years ago.
Life champs, all that stuff. So if you put the words national champs on the ring, is it okay? Sure.
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity. I mean, you know, Danny White, now the AD at Central Florida, used to be the head of the Loyalty Foundation or fundraising or whatever it was here. Mike White's brother, speaking of basketball. What?
Nothing.
You chuckled.
I chuckled because just last night I got more Mike White emails.
You said you weren't talking about that anymore, so why are you talking about it?
I don't know.
See, look at you. All I got to do is mention Danny White, and there you go, talking about Michael White to Ole Miss.
I was just
you will not stop.
You asked why I chuckled.
You will not stop talking about Mike White to Ole Miss.
Jesus.
It's going to be in the top of any hot board. I mean, here, look, Neil cannot let it go, I'm just telling you. So email him away, neilmccready@gmail.com, as he will jump in, share his thoughts with you. Y'all can get nice back and forth with that. But anyway, look, you're Central Florida, and because your great-great-great-great-whatever did not do as well of a job as the great-great-great-great-great-whatever at Ole Miss and Mississippi State and LSU and Tennessee and whatever to get you in the right conference whenever that time came, you're going to be at this disadvantage until at some point some expansion happens and they want you to move up. So anything you can do to continue to market your program, to stay in the news cycle, to make money, to, frankly, support your coaches and your players, because that's the thing here, too. They moved so much higher up on pecking order for later on down the road when Danny White's got to maybe replace Josh Heupel or whatever he's got to do. This was golden in almost every way, and in the relative scheme of things, it's not costing you much of anything.
It's not costing you much of anything, and on a day when you otherwise would not have been in the news cycle, you were very much in the news cycle. You've created a scenario where in the event that Monday's game is a blowout, you might get talked about. You might get talked about now in the lead up to the game, because they'll do 12, 13, 17, 19, 406 hours of pre-gaming. Something will come up. You now will be included in it, and in a positive way. Oh, people will chuckle.
So?
But you're there, and you did go 13-0, and you did beat Auburn in a bowl game. You did it. And when Scott Frost gets interviewed in the pregame, he's going to say really nice things about UCF because they just gave him an extra $200,000.
You're probably the second, off the top of my head, the second or the third best non-Power 5 team of the last decade.
Yeah.
So That's worth something.
Yeah.
I'll throw you in there with the Boise State team that beat Oklahoma. And I'll throw you in there with the TCU team that went undefeated with Andy Dalton and beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl.
That's fair.
That's probably the group, unless I'm forgetting someone. That's probably the group. So, and look, TCU showing you, too. You do happen to get lucky one day and get bumped up. You can compete. Because that's the thing about Central Florida. Look, it's a commuter school, and it's a weird – there's no campus life and all that stuff. But you're in a very, very fertile territory with one of the largest enrollments in the country. You could find your way. I mean, it's where as crazy as Mike Bianchi is, he is right in saying that. If they ever got the right opportunity, they could compete at whatever level.
Bianchi writes that column knowing it's clickbait.
Of course.
He writes that column knowing it's not going to happen. He also writes that column because it is based in some degree of accuracy.
Yeah.
Because the risk of pissing a lot of people off. If you were to just hit the restart button today, complete blank slate, UCF's going to be in a major league before probably Ole Miss or State because of the demographic,
I mean, are you taking the money away?
No, I'm saying if you just restarted, you took every contract and everything and scrapped them all and said, we're redoing this whole thing, which is not going to happen.
Of course not.
Eliminated every TV contract, eliminated all conference affiliation, just went back to ground zero. UCF's going to be very attractive because of their TV market, airports, so all those things.
Now, in saying that, they have very little fan base, and you get – that's the funny thing as we move forward in the next decade, how people figure out the way to correctly correlate TV market with actual eyes. Because you're like the Big Ten right now, they take Maryland and Rutgers, and they get these markets, but that has amounted to nothing in a lot of ways from eyeballs.
No, I think if the Big Ten could start over, they'd go, what's in that for us?
And UCF would run that risk of being that team where you go, well, but
sure,
they really do.
Right.
You know, you're there, but no one cares. So, I don't know. Interesting debate. Danny White's done a hell of a job there, kind of continuing some momentum. Scott Frost, obviously, they make what appears to be a pretty good job hired with Josh Heupel. As well, speaking of that, Missouri's got an OC spot open. Dan Werner has interviewed there recently. He's also been a candidate maybe for OC or quarterbacks coach at South Carolina. I don't think Dan's going to return to Alabama as an analyst next season, so he's looking for another gig, and those are a couple SEC spots where he has at least had some contact or more at this point.
All right, so we're talking coordinators now. What did you think of the whole Dave Aranda story yesterday? Dave, first of all, congratulations to Dave Aranda.
Yeah, we're never going to criticize Dave Aranda on this show.
Because I'm a capitalist. And good for you, my man. I don't know you, but I'm a fan. He turned Jimbo Fisher and Ed Orgeron bidding on him into a $2.5 million a year gig. $2.5 to be the defensive coordinator at LSU. So kudos, first of all, to Dave Aranda, his agent, and everyone who got that done. You, sir, won the day. Now, it's done. What does it mean for LSU? What does it mean from a precedent standpoint? Where's this going? Because there's the new market. I mean, I'm a baseball guy. You know that. I'm sitting here watching because the Cubs are in the middle of this getting after a pitcher. And so I read a story today that all these pitchers are waiting for the other pitcher to fall because that's going to set their market. This is the new market now. $2.5 million for a defensive coordinator.
Okay, a couple things. It's always a couple things to me. First, it's not the new market until there's a second one.
Okay.
When the first one happens, you have an idiot that made a decision on a paycheck. When the second one happens, you have a market. So somebody else has got to jump into that $2.5 million boat, or that's otherwise fair. Joe Oliva is just an idiot. There's one or the other.
Well, it could end up being both.
Oh, right.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, until somebody else does something, we just have an idiot.
It does tell you, not to interrupt a couple of things because that was just one of your things, but it does tell you how desperate they are.
That's where I'm going. Okay, here's the thing. It's not Joe Oliva's money. It's not coming out of Joe Oliva's pocket.
Right.
Joe Oliva knows that he is tied to Ed Orgeron 100%, and if Ed Orgeron fails, Joe Olivas failed too, and he's out of a job. He's not hiring the next guy. He's not worried about LSU's fiscal responsibility in 2023.
Worried about his fiscal responsibility.
Exactly.
His
so
money.
Here's the deal. Yesterday, A&M came with whatever offer it was. It wasn't $3 million. The source was wrong on that. But whatever it was, they get this offer. And he looks over here and goes, well, we can keep Dave Aranda, who's obviously a very good coordinator, and we got to pay him out of the butt, but not my money. Okay. Or I've got to go find another guy. That guy's got to be able to get along with Eddie O over here, which appears to be a little bit of an issue in general anyway.
Yes.
So, hey, can I push this 2.5 through? Yeah, you know, it makes a bad precedent. I won't have to deal with it. But can I push it through? Yeah,
all right. Do you think a promise
you
got made?
No. Well, he can't make the promise. Joe Oliva has no ability to fulfill that promise. So that's my point. Joe Oliva, all he did yesterday was everything Joe Oliva had to do to give Ed Orgeron and CC Joe Oliva the best opportunity to hang around as long as possible. That's all yesterday was for Joe Oliva. It wasn't about promises. It wasn't about, oh, this is the guy that's going to take us into 2025. This is about Joe Oliva trying to make sure he finds a way to get into 2019. That's all this is.
Goodness gracious. Ed Orgeron won the Citrus Bowl. I mean, lost the Citrus Bowl. They got to the Citrus Bowl. People tell you the league was great. No, the league was not great.
That game, even though one team had to win, I came off going, LSU kind of sucked and Notre Dame kind of sucked.
Oh, yeah,
they
for
both kind of sucked.
For sure.
Quarterback play. You have one or you suck.
Yeah, it's why it's all about quarterback recruiting, quarterback development. They ran off Matt Canada. Matt Canada just said, to hell with it, I'm out.
He's still there as of this morning, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's gone.
He took the team plane back. I read that.
Yeah, he's gone. Can't stand him. Can't work for him. Because Ed can't stop putting his hands into the offense. It's just it.
He's
you don't,
done it his entire career.
It's, how old is Ed Orgeron?
I don't know.
50?
Yeah, ish.
Okay, 50-year-old men don't change. Our 6% that listen to us, the females, they're going, uh-huh.
Six now. We were four. We six.
I'm jumping to six. I had to go to the doctor the other day, and the nurse came in, and she said, I listen to your podcast every day. I'm like, see, there.
56.
He's 56. 56-year-old men aren't changing.
Here's what he's done. In the last 10 years since he had the Ole Miss job, he has gotten better with boosters. He has gotten better to at least, this is a nuanced answer, at least understand that there is a system in place that has to somewhat stay inside that system. The thing that he absolutely has not learned whatsoever is to leave his dang coordinators alone.
But see, you say that about boosters, and I know what you mean. This is, we're having a nuanced argument here.
Okay.
Every coach in year one gets along with the boosters. Year one is easy.
Honeymoon.
It's honeymoon. The media's not coming after you yet.
It's the other guy's fault still.
You're still blaming the old dude.
Yeah.
You know? Year two is, we'll experience this with Matt Luke. Year two is different from year one. Year three is different from year two. Now people have said things. Boosters have done things. People have gotten irritated. And coaches almost to a, without an exception, are circle the wagons, keep it inside this building type people. Us against the world. Orgeron goes there faster than most anybody.
He does.
And so, yeah, it was year one, but year one was not a very smooth year one by year one standards.
Because he never had a mandate.
No, of course not. Year two's got a chance to be a disaster.
You still feel good about your under three.
Oh, God, yes.
That he will not be on the sidelines when they take the first snap in 2020.
No chance.
The day that Ole Miss plays Baylor, Ed Orgeron will not be at LSU.
They're going to be worse at quarterback next year than they were this year.
Can they?
Yeah, of course you can. Never ask. Never be the guy that goes, it can't get worse. Yes, it can get worse.
You can be. It's much more likely they're just kind of the same.
I think it's better, more likely that they get worse. They're going to go from experience to lack of experience.
It's going to be Brennan. No, well, it could be Narcisse.
Either way.
I think it's actually, I think it's Narcisse if you told me to guess right now. The kid that's incredibly raw and just runs around a lot.
Who doesn't make as good of a decision as Etling makes. Etling is known to be a decent decision maker. He just can't physically do it.
Well, yeah, because they were modeled to be Alabama light, where we're just going to run the football, the quarterback's not going to beat us. And
well, in today's football, you better have a quarterback who can make decisions. The kid at UCF, for example, makes good decisions. He's not very athletic. I mean, he's very athletic, but he can't throw. Kind of throw sidearm. But he's... you can tell he's a really sharp kid.
Yeah, I kind of liked him. He was all right.
He beat him with his feet all day, and then he got hot with his arm, and then they were tough. But you have to have quarterback play, and they don't. And you're playing in the SEC West. Alabama's not going away. A&M's going to get better. If anybody questioning A&M's commitment to this, all they have to do is look at the money. They're throwing the money at it left and right.
And every connotation that can mean.
Yeah, and Auburn, Stidham's back for another year. Now, they've lost, I think, 10 running backs to the NFL now.
Jeff Holland left yesterday, too.
Yeah. If you can be a first or second round pick, you have to go. But, you know, the league's, Mississippi State's going to have a really good team next year. Ole Miss should be a talented team next year, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defense has some issues. I don't know what to expect from Arkansas. My point is, if you're LSU, there's no guarantee that you finish any higher than, say, fourth or fifth. That's not what they're paying. They're not paying $2.5 million for a coordinator to finish fifth.
He's almost making more than Ed is. Ed's only got him by about $1 million.
Point still stands.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's go to Chris Dortch, talk a little college basketball now. Again, Blue Ribbon Yearbook. He is one of the best voices in college basketball. We'll go there in a second. First, podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You get local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the float down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. Or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews, and then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, give Romero Miller State Farm a call, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Now, Chris Dortch on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for joining the program. Nobody knows college basketball better than you do. I'll get right to it. You've seen this Ole Miss team. They lost last night 71-60 at Georgia. They're now 8-6 overall, 1-1 in the league. 6-for-26 from three, 25-for-70 from the field. They don't rebound well. A lot of things that they just don't particularly do well. When you look at this team, is there any chance that they sort of find themselves and get moving, or is it going to be a long 2 months here?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if you look at the component parts, I think there's more there than meets the eye. Who knows the effect? And I don't know that I've ever heard of a team that lost three home games in overtime in my whole career. I just can't remember that. And two of them were back-to-back. So I don't know what cost that extracted on this team. I saw them at Middle, and Andy was not happy with their performance there. And he's begged and cajoled and prodded them to do the more blue-collar aspects of the game, guard and rebound better. And it looked like they had done that for a time. I think what happens with this bunch when they get to going south is that the offense kind of devolves into a sort of an every-man-for-himself kind of deal. You know, jacking up threes or, you know, going one-on-one. And ideally, I mean, if you look at the better programs around the country, it is a team game. And so I think if Andy can kind of reel that in, I think there's some guys that can score and guys that can play. So it's just a matter of getting everybody on the same page now. It's going to be tougher than it ever has in this league. I think this is the deepest that the league has been since I've been covering it, and that's been a long time. I think top to bottom, it's a lot better league than we've seen in the last 5 to 6, 7, 8 years even.
Yeah, are you surprised it's happened that fast? I mean, the league's talked about it for a while. They've talked about scheduling and all that stuff, but all of a sudden it's a league full of impact players, really good teams. Most of the projections have the SEC getting 7 teams in, which is what the coaches talked about. But they talk about it every year, so you get a little tone deaf to it. This year they were kind of insistent about, hey, this is going to be a stacked league. And there's some programs like Missouri, for example, was so bad the last few years. And this year they're probably in the field if the tournament were set today.
Yeah, it's funny. I always like to use the term, and it's not an original by any means, gradually, then suddenly. And I think what that means is that there's been a systematic weeding out of coaches that weren't getting it done. You know, I loved Kim Anderson at Missouri and, you know, thought that he would be a good fit, but for whatever reason, he just wasn't. Konzo Martin, you know, if you look at his record, he's been an okay coach, not a great coach. But for him, geographically, Mizzou just worked. You know, he was smart enough to hire the Porter brothers' dad, which, you know, some may say it's a package deal. I say that was smart. You know, that he's not a LeVar Ball type guy. He's not a stage dad like that. He just wants to coach. And, you know, to bring the Porter brothers in, even though Michael has played 2 minutes, Jonte last night at 19 points and 6 boards off the bench. So he's a force. And then, you know, Konzo's from East St. Louis. So this kid, Isaiah Tillman, from East St. Louis, had signed with Illinois, decommitted after they fired John Gross. You know, Konzo stumbles into him and then gets this Cassius Robertson, a grad transfer. So just like that, you know, Kim left some talent around. Mizzou is suddenly good. It's taken, when I say gradually, then suddenly, it took Rick Barnes 3 years to get his program to a point where it can contend. I think that, gosh, just less than a week ago, less than 3 or 4 days ago, they were like 2 bad shots from being in the top 10. And now they've lost 2 games in the league. Georgia lost J.J. Frazier, but had everybody back. And also what Mark Fox told me in the summer was his best recruiting class ever. So, you know, the signs were there. You know, your traditional powers weren't going anywhere. Florida, Mike White's done a great job maintaining that program. And Cal, of course, keeps restocking at Kentucky. So, you know, it was just a matter of sort of filling in some blanks. I haven't even mentioned Bruce Pearl yet. He doesn't even have his 2 best players, and they're 13-1 and host Arkansas on Saturday with a chance to probably, if they win that game, they'll be ranked. So, you know, it's taken Bruce 3 years to kind of weed out some bad elements. And, you know, I don't know what the future of that program lies after the Chuck Person debacle with the FBI, but, you know, he's got that thing turned around. So all around the league, there's an emphasis. You know, the SEC finally committed manpower to a full-time associate commissioner in charge of the sport. And I don't know how Mark Whitworth and the SEC parted ways, but he is replaced by a legitimate basketball guy. And they've put edicts in place about how to schedule, and these things are starting to pay off.
I'm going to get to something. You're talking about the league. Ole Miss plays Mississippi State on Saturday afternoon in Oxford, 3:30 at the Pavilion. They just came off a really big win themselves, beating Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
What do you see with them? And then that's kind of leading me into another question I'll get to in a minute. But what do you see from State so far?
Well, again, there's another team that I forgot. Ben Howland has won everywhere he's been. State's lucky to have that guy. I mean, he was in limbo for a while after UCLA canned him. But the fact is he's a good coach. And, you know, he's kind of reversed trends there. He's going big because he can. He's got the kid from Chattanooga, the redshirt freshman, is starting to make contributions. And Holman is a face-up four who can really make threes. He's not just a face-up four in name. And then the Weatherspoon brothers, I think they both had 22 points against Arkansas. So, you know, gives them a talented backcourt. They've got some depth. They just lost that kid, Herard. I thought he was a good player. He certainly killed Tennessee when he played them. He had double-doubles both games last year. So, you know, they've stocked some talent up down there. And they didn't have, in fact, their non-conference strength of schedule bucked a recent trend by the SEC teams. It was 303rd in the country, weak. So people really didn't know what Mississippi State was, and I think they answered the call right out of the box by taking out an Arkansas team that I thought, you know, after it came back against Tennessee the other day, I thought had a chance to make another deep run in the tournament.
Take a quick break in our talk with Chris Dortch. Today the podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. You know, you can go to Holly Springs or TysonDrugs.com to get the Sildenafil, 662-252-2321. Or TysonDrugs.com, as I said. And also for Oxford residents, be aware that Bob Lominick and his staff will now be operating G&W Pharmacy in Oxford as well. They will deliver local, and you know you can get hometown kindness and availability there with G&W Pharmacy. So again, Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs or G&W here in Oxford, TysonDrugs.com.
The Oxford Exxon Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. They have great deals on the new 18s, previously owned vehicles, great lease deals as well. Check them out, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his sites, HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. The results are updated daily. And then get in touch with Harry. He'll take care of the rest. Make sure you get a deal you're happy with now and down the road. HA@HarryAlexander.com. Now back to Chris Dortch on the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
Still could.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my question about Ole Miss. And I know you hate these questions as much as I hate asking them. I hate getting them, and I've already started getting them. Andy's been at Ole Miss for a dozen years now. He's made two tournaments. He's had a lot of close calls. They didn't roll over his contract after last season. It's led to a lot of speculation, probably fairly well-founded, that this is a critical year in many ways. The Ole Miss job as a whole today, I know we asked you this a few years ago when you were on the podcast and they were still playing in Tad Smith and all that. They're playing in a new arena. It's very nice. They have a practice facility that's comparable to other practice facilities, that kind of thing. The job itself today, just on the open market, how attractive is it?
You know, I don't think it's I read somewhere where a month or so ago they won a game and the program reached 500 for its lifetime.
Yeah.
you know, in I don't know how many years it's played basketball. So traditionally, you know, it's been a program that hasn't had much success. Now the bulk of the success is coming in Andy's era. And, you know, I think he's done a pretty good job. Are there things that I think he could do better? Yeah, I do. And I venture to say that he would admit that as well.
Such as?
But I don't know. Well, I think his offense is, can use more cohesion. I think that he recruits, he's got a lot of disparate parts, grad transfers, D1 transfers, Jukes, international kids. And I think that cries out for a much more disciplined approach. And a lot of times in the games that they lose, it kind of devolves into a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of, you know, threes away in the shot clock. And I know that bothers him, but, you know, if you could run a motion, like, you know, I hate to use a mid-major, but Wofford goes into Carolina and beats Carolina with a structured motion offense that runs a ton of screens and gets guys good shots. And I think that's what this cries out for. Now, in terms of recruiting, I don't know that anybody could come in there short of handing out wads of cash and do any better than Andy's done. He's had to take, you know, I think we talked off the air about Island of Misfit Toys. It's kind of been that way for him. But, you know, he's made it a better job. They've got a great arena. It's state of the art, perfectly sized for the program. But the fact is, I think that if you're talking about, can we go and steal Coach X away from Power Conference, you know, Y, that's going to be tough, you know, because it's not going to be a coveted job. They can only give, am I correct, in this 4-year contracts?
Yeah, there's ways around the contract thing. But, yeah, it's you know, you can – that you can give 4-year contracts, but you know how the rollovers work. But yeah,
you can always roll it over, I guess. But
it's one of the reasons why the Chancellor not rolling over the contract last year was a mistake, because now you've set a precedent for not rolling contracts over, and so, you know, the next guy says, well, what happens to me if I don't? So yeah, it becomes right. An issue. It's a very short sighted decision.
You, if you look at the numbers now, Andy's numbers versus the RPI. In his tenure there, you know, how many big wins have they had? What's the overall RPI, schedule strength of who they've played and who they've been? I don't know, but I do know this. He's been remarkably consistent about getting to that 20-22 win mark, getting into postseason play. People don't understand how difficult that is. You know, he does a lot of things well. And I think if it were me and I had that bunch and I would put in a Wofford-like offense. Now, he might say that, well, I get athletes. You know, that's who I have to recruit to. And that is true, but I think that you can get athletic guys to run screening action and get better shots. Or you could go to a straight dribble drive and let's just go ahead and play downhill all the time. Let's don't force threes and let's gang rebound. I'm sure he's thought of all that stuff and tried it all at one time or another, but I think that, you know, the way he's had to recruit, he's just got these disparate guys from all over the place, and it takes him, you know, the better part of you know, a couple of months of the season to maybe get guys on the same page. And, you know, it looked like until last night, maybe he had finally reached them. But again, in his defense, those three non-conference home court overtime losses, that's pretty much unheard of in my career. And who knows what toll that extracted on this bunch.
No, it's a good point. Last thing, because we'll get you again in a few weeks as we get closer to the tournament. We'll talk about who's getting in, all that stuff when the appropriate time comes. I just want to get your thoughts quickly on Trae Young, the guard at Oklahoma. Is he the most exciting college player since who?
I'm going to tell you this. I think he's the most imaginative and exciting passer since Pete Maravich.
Wow.
And I really believe that. If you just look at the passes he throws, John Lucas, when he was at Maryland, did some of the same things, but John was a little more by the book. This guy's a little more crazy with his attempts. It's kind of like when young Tiger Woods, I've covered a lot of amateur golf in my career, and Tiger would try anything because he felt like he could hit any shot. And this kid will try things, but then if you break it down on film, which I have, it looks crazy at the time, but he's just got eyes in the back of his head. So I love the kid. I think he's a better college player than Steph Curry was, and I saw him a lot because I live in Chattanooga, and Davidson was in the Southern Conference at that time, and anytime he played, I was over there. The last year, his junior year, everybody knew he was going pro. They drew 9,000 people to a Chattanooga game. They haven't had half that many since. And what was that, 10 years ago? So he was something, but this kid's better. And I just love him. I just, anytime Oklahoma's on, I'm envious of Big 12 beat writers, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I kept flipping over to it last night because he kind of beat OSU by himself. And then you read Steph Curry was talking about him after Golden State's game yesterday, just talking about the flair that he plays with. He's got a chance to be a star at the next level. And he's, what, 6'2", 100 and –
Yeah, he's a tiny kid, but, you know, his range is 30. And, you know, if Steph Curry can do it, this kid can do it. Like I said, he reminds me of Steph Curry in his overall game, his fearlessness, his range, his passing. But in terms of the creativity of his passes, I'm hard-pressed to think of a better comparison than the pistol. I mean that.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for the time. We'll visit again soon down the road, and enjoy the basketball season. I know it's your favorite time of the year.
It is, buddy. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks to Chris. Excellent talk there with him. We'll have him back on as Selection Sunday gets a little closer. It's sometime mid-March, I believe. So, Chris Dorch again soon, but appreciate his time today. The podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. Remember to get a free quote, 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com, whether it's to build that deck, fence, patio, outdoor living area, outdoor kitchen, or more. You can get the free quote for them. And also mention the podcast, sign an annual contract, and when you need that first cut, it will be free because of you listening to this show.
The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You should know that Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you use Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any make or model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page, Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749.
Just got a text that an Amazon package was coming toward my house today. Reminds me, we have a new Amazon link up on the message board. So if you'd like to click through, use that in replace of the other one. Sorry about that little delay there, but we would really, really appreciate it. So it is up.
We got in trouble with Amazon.
We did, yeah.
We didn't mean to.
We got scolded. So it's up at rebelgrove.com. Also in the content of the podcast every single day. I actually added it yesterday once we were given a new link, and then I will continue to update it moving forward. So appreciate an update to your link usage there, and we would appreciate if you click through and use Amazon for that. I had to see what was coming to my house, because it's gotten to where it's kind of roulette. We use Amazon so much that a lot of times I have no clue what any of the boxes are, and there's so much stuff coming in. And on the little text message where I can track it if I would like, it just said, your package, which is a Pedic Ultra Bamboo Shredded. I had no idea what that was.
What is it?
It was some sort of memory foam pillow.
Oh.
I have no idea. But that was the abbreviation tagline in the...
You were like, what the...
Yeah, I had no idea what was coming to my house today. So, anyway. All right. Let's see. What else has happened? We've got a couple days for the playoff. We've got NFL playoffs starting in a couple days. I'll be fairly useless on Sunday. Convention starts soon for football. So, almost the dead period is almost over. They will... January 12th is when the dead period ends and things get back going. So recruiting picking up soon. As you said, there'll be a soft verbal up tomorrow on the site at rebelgrove.com.
Yeah, and a Oxford Crystal Beer Garden that will be probably close to 100% NFL.
People were freaking out a little bit about the 10th coach and the hire. Other people have done it. They can't start work till January 10th. Chill. Got a little less than a week. It's going to be all right.
And let's keep this real. These deals are so much further down the road than anybody knows. They just don't announce it until it comes time.
They're all done, pretty much.
Yeah. I think you cited Occam's Razor today on the message board. Probably accurate. If all signs point towards one thing, it's probably where everything's pointed.
It's possible we're missing someone.
It's certainly possible.
But a lot of people missing someone when you talk to everybody, and there's one name that continues to come up over and over.
I'm more interested in changes to the staff than I am who the addition to the staff is.
You sure there are changes?
I'm not.
That's kind of what you meant, I guess.
There's one particular
spot
that I think is most interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
And to me, it's more intriguing than whether they add.
It's an off-field. Neil is talking about on-field. There's also an off-field spot that still could be filled by Austin Thomas. All things seem to be pointing to that being very likely at this point. Multiple SEC programs had contacted him, although multiple sources and even a couple reports that said Ole Miss the likeliest choice of the SEC schools to land him. So, Matt had intimated a lot the last few weeks and months about changes to the structure of the recruiting office and different things. I have a feeling that was one of the things he was talking about.
One of the criticisms of Hugh Freeze from inside the building over the years was that the recruiting office was not as structured as it probably needed to be. That the program was not as structured as it needed to be. That there was a tendency to fly by the seat of the pants, to be reluctant to make decisions, things of that nature. If Thomas is the hire, he's known for his organizational ability.
We talked about Orgeron a minute ago. There's a story on ESPN this morning. It's insider, but whatever. Adam Rittenberg saying, I think he used to be a Big Ten writer. I don't know what Adam's doing now because they've canceled a lot of those blogs, and I'm
right.
Not sure who's doing what, but he's doing what coaches are most likely to be involved in the carousel in 2018, meaning next offseason.
Yes.
He has a list on his list. I'm assuming they're in order of likelihood. Number one, David Beatty at Kansas. He's 3-33 in three seasons. Incredibly difficult job.
No. Charlie Weiss did it one time.
the Kansas AD calls Hugh Freeze, and you're Hugh Freeze, yes or no?
Is it all I got?
It's the only head job you got. You also have an offer to be the offensive coordinator at South Carolina.
Give me the money. Where's the money? Where's the...
Kansas is going to pay you $2.8 million.
Okay. Will's going to pay me one and a half?
Yeah, 1.3.
Oh! Probably go to South Carolina.
Do you really? Wait. Okay. Okay.
Hugh's really good as a head coach. He's going to bring excitement in right away and that kind of thing. But can you get the players you're playing? I mean, you're battling a lot of other people that play your style of ball with better players.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Oh, yeah, everybody throwing it around over there.
Yeah, I mean, you just sling it. Be hard to turn down twice the pay.
All right. Number two, Cliff Kingsbury, 30-33 after five seasons.
I'll tell you what, you talk about how big of a game that is for Ole Miss next year.
Huge for Tech.
Boy. For Ole Miss, it's just going to be kind of a, oh, well, that's interesting. For Texas Tech, it's.
He's 16-29 in a Big 12 play.
He doesn't need to open with the loss in Houston next year.
Kalani Sitake, okay. Where does he coach? Nil.
Kalani Sitake?
Yeah. Where's he coach?
I have no idea.
He is a Division I head coach that is on this list.
I have no clue.
That should have been a game. Come up with names and see if you can name the school.
It should have.
Would you have gotten David Beatty?
Yeah.
Kansas?
Yeah, I would have gotten it.
He's at BYU.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's at BYU.
Okay.
He's 13-13 after two seasons at BYU.
Okay.
The Cougars were 123rd nationally in scoring offense last season.
That's not good.
That's not great. So, let's see. Number four, interesting. Paul Johnson, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten the impression that axe beginning to wear thin. It's hard to stay someplace 10 years, man.
They said the thing is, though, Georgia Tech not flush with money to pay people not to work. Tech not one of the places that can just throw out a bunch of money in a buyout.
So, and you could do worse than Paul Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Fast.
They beat State in an Access Bowl in 14.
Yeah.
Hadn't been that long ago.
No. You could do worse.
Number five, our boy Eddie O at LSU.
Yeah. I told you. He's not a head coach.
Quote, LSU squanders too much talent every season.
He's not a head coach.
Number six, Lovie Smith, Illinois, 5-19 after two seasons. Hard job.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
I would take the Carolina job over the Illinois job.
I would take the Illinois job over the Kansas job.
Would you?
Yes.
They're kind of the same job. Ish.
Well, ish. But you could go get athletes at Illinois.
They've been okay recently. Is it Zook that had them okay?
Yeah, Zook had them okay.
Number seven, the Vanderbilt Commodores and Derek Mason.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
18-31 in four seasons.
He turned two wins over two programs that were in chaos and no one knew it.
He's 6-26 in the league.
He beat Ole Miss and Tennessee back-to-back, and that got him a new deal. Kudos to him.
Number eight, DJ Durkin, Maryland, 10-15 after two seasons. Got the one over Texas, but hadn't done much else.
He'd have to really bottom out next year.
Yeah, he's the bottom. It says Durkin should be fine, but you might want to leave no doubt and win a little bit. Number nine, again, we're kind of down the list to the point where I think he just had to fill out some names, but Larry Fedora, North Carolina, on a hot seat, hit it in 2008.
Well, they were really bad this last year. You can't be really bad 2 years in a row.
43-34 in six seasons, even though he was in the ACC title game in 2015.
They were just so bad this past season.
Yeah, only got one losing season as a head coach, and the contract runs through 2022 currently. And then number 10, I'm trying to see the reason for this, and it's because he was not hired by the current athletic director. Some better things happening and his biggest rival. On the list, Clay Helton, USC.
Ooh.
Said if Chip Kelly goes crazy, Lynn Swann didn't hire him. This is probably 2 years down the road, but I at least see the lane that they're looking at.
I see what they're saying. Clay Helton would get snapped up fast.
Yeah, he wouldn't be out of work long.
Not 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Clay Helton has made USC stable quickly from an era of instability when you went through the Lane.
Helton thought there was any writing on the wall whatsoever, call Arizona. They'll pay him $6.5 million today.
Had some people ask me. My sourcing was in the agent world.
I saw that.
I had two different sources on it that yesterday morning, Les Miles was on a conference call with the University of Arizona. So just because something didn't happen right away doesn't mean I was wrong. I've been wrong many times in my career. I was not wrong about that story. There is mutual interest. Is that who Arizona is going to hire? I have absolutely no idea. It's amazing. People wrote stories off that tweet.
Did they?
Yeah. Now, they credited me, but it's like, you're going to make that a story? Dear Rivals, thank you so much for not being a clickbait news site. I don't think I would do well at a clickbait news site.
You would have to really adapt.
I mean, I would do it, but I'm not going to be the guy that sits around 19 hours a day in front of my computer all day long waiting for a tweet so I can make a story. Not going to do that.
So Clay Helton on the list, interesting. But anyway, that's just something I saw a second ago. We will have, again, the Beer Garden, the Soft Verbal, the full family of podcasts as the week moves along. We'll talk to our buddy Ryan Brown tomorrow on the show to close the week. Again, Alabama, Georgia, Monday night. Also, I know that you got to ask on the message board. We're going to do the podcast with Michael Thompson on Tuesday. So I'll put a message board post up, let you get questions in, let you kind of dictate that interview with Michael, as many of you had thoughts. So.
And do us a favor on that. And Chase will ask this in the message board thread, but leave the cute stuff out of that thread if you can. Can we just one time, just keep it kind of real?
Yeah.
Keep it sort of quasi-professional, just kind of a little, just in the lane of professionalism.
Yeah. So we appreciate that. That's what's coming up on the show. We'll have plenty more to you, and check rebelgrove.com as well as we move into Friday.
The podcast has been brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out LiveOxford, bankoxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Talk to you tomorrow.